This podcast is a ministry of Oriel Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.orielchristianassembly.org.
Divine grace. How many are thankful for divine grace today? Amen. That's really what Christmas is about. It's the divine grace of God that was given to us through Jesus. Jesus lived out what God had for us, which is love and His grace. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that today. I'm not going to hopefully be too long here. We want to give everybody a little rest. They can come back tonight and feel refreshed. But when you talk about divine grace, there's a lot that goes with it. But even in the dictionary, you know, it's quite a bit, but there's a part that has to do with God. And I thought it was really good. Here's what it says. What is divine grace? It says, it's the freely given, unmerited favor and love of God. Let me say it again. It's free today. It's freely given. It's unmerited. We don't deserve it, but it's the favor and the love of God. I like this. It is the influence or spirit of God operating in man. Let me say that again. It's the influence or the Spirit of God operating in man. How many know you have that today? Do you have that? Let me ask you. Amen. God influences your life. Amen. You know that. It's the Spirit of God working in you. Okay. Divine grace is a virtue. Okay. Or an excellence of divine origin. It's a virtue, okay? Grace. It's an excellence from God. It's not anything we come up with. It's from God, okay? It is the condition of being in God's favor. The condition of being in God's favor or of one of the elect. So, when you talk about divine grace, one word is really good is the favor of God. Amen. How many have that today on your life? You know it if you have it. Okay? You know it. And I'm going to talk a little bit about it today to you, the attributes and the benefits of divine grace. Okay? Because of divine grace, we do what we do here. All the puppeteers, all the singers, everything that happens, it's because of the grace of God on people's lives. You know, that's what happens, okay? Because God has touched people's lives, influenced people's lives, and the gifts that God has given them, they begin to use them. It's an act of divine grace, okay? So I want to go over quickly 9 different things that I came up with. There's a lot more, but these are just 9 I want to share with you quickly today. Number 1 about divine grace, it's that it is freely given. It was in the definition today. Freely given. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 84. I'm going to try to go through these pretty quick. Psalm 84. This is more of a teaching than it is a message today. In Psalm 84:11, it says this, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace," there it is, "and glory." Now listen to this part. "No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." So number 1 point is it's free, okay? The grace of God, we don't earn it. You know, some are better than others, but He says here He won't withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly though. God does want us to walk uprightly today. Amen. And as we do that, you know what? More grace comes on your life. Amen. More glory comes on your life as you walk uprightly. Okay? It'll be visible, the grace of God that's on your life. And it's free. Okay? None of us earned it. Remember what I said earlier. It's unmerited, divine grace of God. You know, last week we talked about mercy. Mercy is that we didn't get what we deserved. But grace is like the opposite. You know, we get what we don't deserve. Okay? So mercy and grace go hand in hand today. Amen. Such a blessing. So it's freely given, but we do need to walk uprightly. God wants us to walk uprightly. Number two about divine grace, it is visible. It really is. It's visible so that you can see it on people's lives. It's manifested. Okay? Let's go to the book of Acts. I want you to look at Acts chapter 11 today. Acts chapter 11. We're going to read verses 21 to 23. This was when they were having revival in the book of Acts at Antioch. And they could see what was going on. Praise God. It's so visible when you see the grace of God happening. Amen. Acts 11, 21 to 23 says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." I hope that's what happens tonight, what we just read. Amen. "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch." Now look at this, verse 23. "Who when he came and had seen the grace of God," he saw the grace of God, "was glad and exhorted them all with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord." People were getting saved. Revival was happening. Barnabas came, he says, "I could see the grace of God operating." Amen? That's a beautiful thing. Last night, we could see the grace of God was operating up here. Amen? God was just moving. People were blessed. Children were excited. People were crying because of the Spirit of the Lord. That's the grace of God operating. You're going to see it. Okay? You're going to know this is God, what's happening. Amen. How many have ever knew that in their lives when you were going through something and God was ministering to you or saying, "Lord, this is a God moment." Amen. This is you. This is, no man is doing this. This is really you. And you sense that closeness from the Lord because you can see it. It's a beautiful thing today. Amen. You can see it. Number three, as we see this grace of God that is flowing, we're encouraged in the Bible to continue in it. Okay? When you got saved, God's grace came on you, but it just wasn't for a moment. We're encouraged to continue to be in the grace of God. Amen? How many know what I'm talking about? Stay in the book of Acts, in Acts 13, 43. We're going to read that. Acts 13, 43. You've got to be a little Bible thumper with me today. I got you moving all over. In Acts 13:43, it says, "Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them," here it is, "to continue in the grace of God." Continue. Amen? God has so much to give to us. And God wants us to what? Continue in the grace of God. Amen. As we walk uprightly, you know what? You're going to continue to see God's grace on your life as a Christian today. It's a beautiful thing. Okay? All of us wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the grace of God today. Amen. You continue to see His hand work in your life. Amen. Number four, because of divine grace, it empowers us for service. Okay? Divine grace empowers us for service today. Amen? So turn with me. I have a few scriptures on this one. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. Says this. This is Paul now speaking, and we can put our own selves in the position here. He says in verse 10, "According to what the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." So Paul recognized, you know what? Because of the grace of God given to me, I can be a wise master builder, which he was. Paul was an apostle. He was a builder of churches, okay? But he says it, I only do what I'm doing because of God's grace on my life. God's grace has empowered me to be what He wants me to be. Okay? Some of you have been empowered to sing today. You know, some of you are truly master builders in the sense of building carpentry. You know, Brother Frank, that's his gift. You know, it's a gift from God. It's a grace that's upon his life to build. Amen. All of us have been graced with something today. Amen. And you know, it's not from you. God gave it to you. Amen. Right, Brother Frank? You build fences and you build material for all that. God graced him to do that. All of us have been graced by God. We have to recognize that. It's not anything of us. It's God's grace on our life. And it shows, it empowers us to do things. Okay? It's very important. I have so many people say, I don't know how you could be a pastor. That's too hard. I could never do it. And what I say to them, that's God's grace on my life. Okay? I didn't wake up one morning and say, I'm going to be a pastor. Okay? Really, growing up, I was a shy kid. I never talked much. People, when they saw me years later, when I got, you know, grown up and so on and so forth, you know, a lot of them were shocked. You know, Rich is a pastor now? What? That was the grace of God. It wasn't me. I was quiet, okay? I really was growing up. You didn't even know I was there. But see, God's grace empowers you to do what He wants you to do. It's a blessing today. Let me continue with this point. Go to 1 Corinthians 15:10. We read it again. 1 Corinthians 15:10. He says here, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Isn't that true today? "And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Oh, that's powerful today. Amen? Paul is saying it again here. You know what? I worked harder. I labored harder than everybody else. He wasn't really boasting here. Don't take this like he was boasting. He was just saying, because the grace of God on his life, he outworked everybody. Amen? Not so that, you know, he could say, look at me. Paul was a very humble man. But God used him because of the grace that was on his life. Amen. He realized, I am what I am today only because of the grace of God. I can't take no credit for it today. Amen. Sure, you have to be willing. You have to be obedient. You have to walk uprightly. But, you know, with obedience comes the grace. Amen. The blessing. Amen. On your life. And you're thankful for it. Praise God. Because you know you're where you are today because of divine grace. His favor on your life. You wouldn't probably be in the place you are today if it wasn't for God's hand on your life. And Paul says, boy, I recognize it. Amen. Ephesians 3, 7 and 8. Let's go there quickly. Ephesians 3, 7 and 8. He says here, "Whereof I was made a minister," there it is, "according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power, unto me who am least or less than the least of all saints is this grace given," oh God, "that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Paul sees it again. He says, you know what? I've been made a minister because of the grace of God, not because of anything that I have, that I'm special by any means. He says, no, I'm actually less than the least of the saints. There's the humility of Paul right there. You see it. He says, I'm really less than anybody, but because of His grace on me, I have become what I have become, so that I can what? Preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen. So we are empowered to do what we do by His grace. Amen. It's a beautiful thing here today. Number five, this grace is promised to the humble. Amen. Who's going to get the grace? Those who are humble. More of the grace. Okay? If you would, turn with me to James chapter 4, verse 6. James 4, 6. Hope I'm not going too fast for you, but I told you I was going to just zip through them, so I don't take a lot of time here today. But in James 4:6, we read, he says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble." So today we need to realize that if we want more of God's grace upon us, he resists the proud, but he gives that grace unto the humble. We always have to stay humble before God. The more humble, the more grace. Amen. The more beautiful things God will do in your life and through your life, that God will be exemplified and manifested. You'll be able to touch people because of the grace that is on your life. It's a beautiful thing. 1 Peter 5:5. Just turn over to the next book. 1 Peter 5:5. He says here, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another," he says here, "and be clothed with humility. For here it is, for God resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace to the humble." Amen? God wants you to be, what? Clothed with humility. Amen. That means all your being, every part of you, God wants you to be humble. And when you are, he says, you know what? I'm going to give grace to you. Amen. But those who are proud and cocky and have a chip on their shoulder and they think, you know, they have it all. Amen. God says, I resist that person. You know, I don't even, you know, I stay away from that person. Amen. Because that person needs to change. Amen. But God says, the humble is the ones I bless with my grace, my favor. Amen. I enjoy the favor of God. I want more of the favor. How about you today? Amen? Because it's a blessing to be in the favor of God. Number six, the favor or the divine grace of God, I want you to know it makes life a lot better for you, and it actually is sufficient for all your needs, the grace of God. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, let's look at this scripture here. 2 Corinthians 12:9. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. This is one of my favorite scriptures. There's been many times in my life that I maybe had a real problem or a difficult time, and God would always bring me to this verse, okay? Because there's strength in this verse. When you know this verse and you apply it, he says here, "And he said unto me," this was, again, the Lord was speaking to Paul. He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Amen? He says, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Wow. He says, "Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of God," or the power of Christ, "may rest upon me." So Paul was going through difficult times. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. That's what he tells us here in this chapter. But the Lord answered him and said, you know what? My grace is sufficient for you. You're going to make it. Amen. And he says here, you know what? When you're weak, then my strength comes forth. Amen. When you can't go any further, or when you can't handle it on your own, my grace is there. And you know what? My strength is made perfect in your weakness. You know why? Because you pretty much, when you can't handle it or when you can't do anything about it, you give it to God and God takes over. And then the grace kicks in. Amen? And he works it out only the way he can work it out. All right? A lot of times we try to fix things and instead of fixing them, we make them worse sometimes. All right? Because he's the master one. You know, he's the master builder. And he says, you know what? Everything you need is, I have it in my grace for you. My grace is sufficient for you. I like the Amplified Bible. It says it this way. My favor and my loving kindness and mercy are enough for you. They're enough. Amen? He says they're enough. He says that is sufficient against any danger and to enable you to bear the trouble manfully. So, when God's grace is there, you know what? He'll protect you. He'll be sufficient for any danger or any kind of trouble you're in. The grace of God will work it out if you trust God. Amen. You got to trust Him today. That's part of that divine grace that's given to us. Amen. Number 7, this divine grace is actually given to all to participate with or to take from. The question is, do you want that grace in your life? In Ephesians 4, verse 7, we read that. Ephesians 4, verse 7. He says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Amen. And in this chapter, he's talking about that we all have a calling, a Christian calling. God is calling all of us. And when we respond to the call of God, then he says here, now this grace is given unto everybody. But first you have to respond to the call. Amen. Some people don't have the grace of God on their life because they haven't responded to Jesus. Amen. But those of us today, we have responded. You know that because you have come, you have heard the call of God. Now God's grace is there for you. And that grace is going to come in different ways for everybody. You know, the grace is very wide and without measure today. And God's grace works differently in everybody that's here. But it's the gift of Jesus that the grace comes from here. Amen. He says, this grace is according to the measure of what? The gift of Christ. And that's what we talk about during this season, Christmas. The greatest gift of all. The reason for the season. Amen. Jesus. The greatest gift. Amen. You tell people, do you need some grace in your life? Then you need Jesus. Amen. You need some more love in your life? Well, you need Jesus in your life. Amen. You need some favor. You need things to go right for you. You need the grace of God in your life. See, it all works together here. Divine grace. And it comes and it flows in different ways in all of us. I got two more for you. Number 8, the divine grace of God is a source of power for us today. How many need power in their life? Amen. We do. It empowers us for service, but it's just a source of power that we all need today. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, we see this. 2 Timothy 2, 1. He says here, this is Paul talking to Timothy. He's kind of, mentoring Timothy, the young pastor. He says, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. See, we have to be what? Weak? No, we have to be strong in what? The grace of God, he says here. See, when you're strong in the grace of God, you can get through anything. Amen. Because that anointing, that touch of God is on your life. And he's encouraging Timothy here, you need to be strong in the grace of God. You need to be strengthened inwardly, and you need to have that grace or that spiritual blessing on your life that only comes and only is found in Jesus. This kind of grace is only found in Jesus. You don't find it in anybody else. Okay? And Paul is telling Timothy, you got to be strong as a soldier of the cross. Amen? Meaning, you will have power in your life to be a soldier if you tap in to the grace of God today. It's a beautiful thing. Amen? It empowers us. Praise God. It's a source of power every day for us to have. And number 9, which is one of the most important, if not the most important, is that because of the divine grace, we receive salvation today. Amen? It's because of His grace. Amen. Titus 2:11 tells us this. He says in Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to who? All men." Amen. The grace of God appeared how? Through the Son, through Jesus. And it's appeared to everybody, okay? But the question is, who's going to receive it today? Who's going to receive the gift of salvation? It's a gift. You can't earn it, okay? It's free. So, you know, when you give gifts to people this year, you know, give them a natural gift, but say, you know what, even beyond that, let me give you Jesus this year. Amen? It's free for us. Jesus paid a heavy price for it, but it's free for us. These are my last scriptures I want you to look at. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to close. I'm going to let you off early again today so you can get your rest and come back tonight. Ephesians 2. We're going to read a few verses here. Verses 4 to 9. This really talks about the grace. Okay? The grace of God that we have. And because of that, we have salvation. But in Ephesians 2, verse 4, we read here, he says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." Amen. "And has raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places, who in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace." Oh boy, that's how good his grace is. There's riches in his grace. "In his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ," or Christ Jesus. Verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Amen. There it is. "And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Amen. It's free today. Praise God. Divine grace has given us salvation today. Amen. It's not by anything that we do, it says here. It's not because of ourselves, or it's not because of any work that we do. You know, all those who work so hard to put this presentation, the puppet show, you know, because they do that doesn't earn them salvation today. All right? But because they're saved, they do things like this. You see the difference? When you're saved, then you do. Amen? You don't do to get saved. Amen? Some religions, some teach that, you know what, unless you do works, you can't go to heaven. But that's false doctrine. You're saved by grace. How many read it in here? It said it more than once in that little 4 or 5 verses. You know, you're saved by grace. How? Through faith. All you got to do is believe. Amen. Believe. And you receive the riches of his grace. Praise God. What a powerful thing today. Last week, we talked about mercy. This week, we talk about divine grace. You know, we're here today because of his grace. Amen. We really are. We'll be back tonight because of his grace on our lives. Amen. Wherever you go in your life, from this point on, will be because of God's grace on you. Amen. So the more you walk with him, the more you listen to his voice, you'll see God's grace more and more on your life, and you'll be able to do great things for God. And that's what we should all desire. You know, I'm proud of our cast who works hard every year to do this. But they do it because they want to see people touched. Amen. They want to see children touched. They want to see people get saved because of the message that comes through the puppet show and through the songs. Amen. So tonight we're believing for something good to happen again. Amen. So I'm going to ask the praise and worship team to come back, and they can close us with a song. Amen. Praise God. How many are blessed today? How many are thankful today? Amen. It's by divine grace that we're here today. Amen. Praise the Lord.